Let's read this. I'm going to read this. You guys follow along. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled to me." Then the angel left her. What's happening in this story is that Mary, and you may have heard this or you may not have known this, that Mary was probably, most scholars believe, 13, 14 years old when this angel shows up and says, "Hey, your life is about to change. Dramatically, your life is about to change." And the angel goes on to say, "Everything that you've planned on, all your time, all your strength, even your reputation is now going to change. And it is going to be leveraged, if you will, for something bigger than yourself." And you might call that a storm. I mean, can you just imagine if you were, 14 years old and an angel showed up and said, "Hey, we have a whole different plan for you. We have a whole different direction for your life than you had for your life." I mean, that would be difficult for anyone, let alone a teenager. And what you see in this picture is a storm, something that was not something you could anticipate, something that was more difficult than you could have ever imagined, and a total change of plans comes to Mary. And Mary actually, within this conversation, she kind of moves from being distant from it to saying, "Okay," and then eventually in the story, she ends up actually singing a song, and she embraces this. When the angel first says, "I'm here and I have a message for you," she says she's kind of scared and she wondered what it was. And that word "wondered," when we were reading that in Luke, is an accounting term. It actually is her going like, "Wait a minute, this something doesn't add up. Something's not okay." And then she starts to ask some questions. So gradually she moves along into kind of listening to the new circumstances of her life. And then by the end, she says, "Okay, I guess I'll do this. I guess I'll take this on." But for certain, if she could have written her own story, she probably wouldn't have said, "I would like to make some plans. I would like to have this life. I would like to spend this kind of time and this kind of money and this kind of whatever energy and then have someone come along and give me something completely different." And most of us are like that. Like when we pick our problems, or we pick our path, or we pick our plan, whatever challenges come with it, we're willing to take. We kind of like, "Okay, this is part of it. You gotta pull up your bootstraps. You gotta go with it." But when a plan that's difficult gets dropped into our lap, we have the same opportunity and the same challenge that Mary had when this plan arrived to her. It's Christmas time. There's all these different, storms that are happening, and little storms and big storms, all the stuff that's coming over the next couple months. And our second born son, Jet, he just last week got into mittens. And so he's going to school. I take him to school every morning. And he said, "I'm going to wear mittens. I'm going to wear mittens." And I'm like, okay, well, mittens, all right, it's going to be tough for you to do all the things that you're supposed to do. But he was just like, I am going to wear these mittens. And I put him in the back of my car, and when we go to school, you know, I have that rule, right? I'm like, this car's not moving until everybody's strapped in. You got to get strapped in. So they have to buckle themselves in, and if they can't. And I knew that Jet, he's four. Like, it's tough for him to strap himself in when he doesn't have mittens on, let alone when he puts these mittens on. But he's just like, it doesn't matter. No matter how hard it is, I'm going to wear these mittens. And so this is just a little taste of Jet here.
Here. You need help getting this strapped. You can't do it. Can you try to do it one more time? You can't do it?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Because I can't.
Because of your mittens?
Uh-huh.
Just try it a little bit.
I don't want to.
All right, here, I'll do it. It's a lot easier with your fingers, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Oh, boy. How's that?
I mean, every single one of us, if we came to church today or we said, you know what, I wanna like grow in my faith. I wanna get stronger. I wanna trust God more. Like, you're here today because part of you wants to engage God at a new level. You wanna trust God more. You wanna depend upon God more. You wanna figure out what that means or what that looks like from the beginning. You're here because of that. But you and I, we want to pick what that looks like. I mean, most of you would say, if I asked, who wants their faith to get stronger? Raise your hand if you would want your faith to get stronger. Right? All of us want our faith to get stronger. But the reality is that we don't get to pick the challenges that make our faith stronger. You see, we make decisions all the time that make things difficult. We put mittens on. But just like Jet, we kind of go, hey, I put these mittens on, so I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with whatever comes with my choice. And I'll get stronger and figure out how to live life with my restraints, with my plan. But what happens is that for your faith to grow and for my faith to grow, you have to enter into a storm. You have to go through something difficult. You have to trust in God. It's going to sideswipe you. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a challenge. And most of us would like our faith to grow without the challenges that make our faith grow. But in fact, our faith won't grow unless we're challenged. Our faith won't grow unless there's something that happens. This is a story of Mary. Mary is living this life. She has her plans. And God comes to her and says, hey, you are going to have to trust me in a completely different way. And through that, your faith will be strengthened. And if you want your faith strengthened, like if you want to trust God more, if you want to be more engaged, if you want to be someone that a story is written about who trusts God, then there's going to be some storms, not the kind that you choose, not the mittens that are challenging, the kind that come your way that you couldn't anticipate, that you are going to have to endure. And from that, your faith will be strengthened. So you go, wow, man. I mean, last week, what I talked about is that good advice is nice, but I choose good news. That the story of Christmas is not that your salvation depends upon your behavior or how well you do or how much advice you kind of take and how much wisdom you garner and go through life with. The story of Christmas is about, here's some good news, there's nothing you have to do. You just have to accept it's all been done. But the story of Christmas doesn't stop there. When we know we have a relationship with God, it's the beginning of a relationship with God. It's the beginning of okay, I trusted you with my eternity, but now I have to trust you every single day. And to trust God every single day, for your faith muscles to grow and get stronger, you're going to have to endure some things that can be really, really challenging. Faith is strengthened through storms. Faith is strengthened through storms. There's some guys in the Bible who wrote about how your faith is strengthened. One of them said to consider it pure joy when you face various trials or various storms. knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, or the testing of your faith makes your faith stronger. You will not trust God more if you don't go through a storm. You will not have stronger faith if you don't go through various trials. God hands us this faith. Faith is a gift. He hands it to us. We trust in Him. It starts off with good news, our salvation. And then He goes, okay, are you going to lean on Me through it all? The storms that come your way. Are you going to trust in God with all of your heart and not depend upon your own understanding, but in every way, in every challenge, acknowledge God and lean on Him through the storm? That's what's going to cause your faith to grow. So all of us have to kind of take a deep breath, right? We're going to depend upon God. We live in this space. We're just like Mary, and we have to go, okay, I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to let whatever comes my way, and I'm going to lean into Him. And part of your faith being strengthened, part of that is the substitution of what you had for you and what God has for you. The substitution of your world for the world that God puts in your life. And essentially, for your faith to grow, you're going to have to follow Jesus. And to follow Jesus, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost you something. You are going to have to spend something. For your faith to get stronger, you're going to have to kind of like move away from yourself and take up something different. There's a passage in the scriptures where Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, when Jesus says that, he says that in a region that is overseen by Roman rule, which Rome was, you know, thousands of miles away. But Rome has got to that place. Well, in Rome, what that meant when you take up your cross was this. If someone said you take up your cross because crosses were Roman and they were Roman forms of torture and execution. So when someone says you take up your own cross, here's what it meant in Rome. It meant, if you took up your cross, that whatever it cost you, to do what you know you're supposed to do. You're supposed to lift up your cross, leave Rome, and never come back. That's what it meant to take up your cross. So the idea is that if you are going to do what you're supposed to do, you're going to lift something up that's really difficult. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to make you grow. And then you are going to move into a completely different life. And you're never going to come back. So when Jesus is saying that to his disciples, he's saying, if you want to follow me, you're going to take up a faith challenge that's going to be so difficult for you. And you are going to lift that up on your back. And then you're going to leave whatever region, whatever space you occupy now. And you're going to go and you're going to never come back. If you grew up in church, this is kind of synonymous, if you will, with the idea of repentance. You're going to start in a new direction. You're going to head out of the town that you live in, out of the space, out of the world, and you're never going to come back. Now, all of us said, hey, I want my faith to grow. Are you ready to take up your cross and follow and go to a place that's really challenging that you never thought you'd have to go? Are you ready to do that? The fact is that life is a challenge. Life comes with difficulties whether you choose to follow Jesus or not. The biggest lie that the enemy and that the world wants us to believe is that the challenges of life are easier than the challenges of following God. But the reality is that following God is life. It is life. It is truth. And you don't know that until you follow Him. Because the world doesn't work the way that you and I think the world works. In fact, it's upside down. In fact, it's different. The scriptures talk about if you want to gain your life, you have to lose it. The scriptures talk about if you want to do one thing, you have to stop doing another. The scriptures lead us to believe that in order for us to live our lives, we have to give away because it's better to give than to receive. And so all of life and faith and trust in God is this strength, just constant storm in a sense of, I got to trust God. I got to take up my cross. It's going to cost me something. Bob Goff said it this way, following Jesus will cost each of us something different. Following Jesus will cost each of us something different. So for your faith to grow, it's going to cost you something. For your faith to get strengthened, it's going to be difficult. And it's actually the only way that you can experience life the way that God has intended it, and it's going to have its challenges. But it's ultimately going to lead you towards depending on God more and having stronger faith. I think a lot of us move into this relationship with God because we think that everything is just going to get better and better and better and better. And in fact, like, God's whole plan was not just to make everything better for you, but to make everything ultimately better for everyone. And for Him to make life better for all of us, He had to go through excruciating pain. He had to take up and move into the grandest storm of all when He was crucified. And so, man, this is about a lack of comfort. This is about no pain, no gain. This is where Christians have to kind of step up and go, okay, like, I want to trust God more, so whatever He brings my way, I guess I'll pay. I'll do it. I want to depend upon God more and trust Him that this is going to work out. And it's going to cost you something. When you look at what Mary, how she had to grow in her faith and what it cost her, I think there's a lot of implications for what that looks like for you and me. What does it look like for us to have our faith grow, to trust God? What is it going to cost us? One of the first things it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you your plans. It's going to cost you your plans. For you to trust God, you're going to kind of have an idea of a way you want to go, and then God's going to ask you to go somewhere else. Think about Mary, 13, betrothed to get married. I mean, can you imagine? I have a wedding next weekend. Last week, I met with the bride and the groom, and man, do they have plans, right? I mean, I'm marrying. There's like a bunch of different families in here right now, and I'm going to be a part of the weddings. And there's some weddings that are happening in March and in July, and there's already plans. There's a couple right here got married. They had big plans. Just plans. Can you imagine just the plans for getting married? Can you imagine God coming along and saying, oh, all your plans, they got to change because I have something different for you. Mary going, but the family, but the Southwest, we already paid, whatever. The plans are all, the money, it's all going to change. Oh, but I want my faith to grow. So, okay, I'll take a different plan. You see, the fact is that God asks us to join His plan, not to approve Him. Bob Goff said that too. God asks us to join His plan, not to approve Him first. See, if you want your faith to grow, but you only approve what plans come your way, it's not going to happen that way. Mary had plans, get married, have a family, buy a house. Think about it, just like everybody else, grow up, maybe one day have kids. Had a plan to do a business, to get involved in the carpentry work of Joseph, whatever it is, plans. God comes along and says, oh, I have a totally different plan. You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby. And you're not even like married yet. And I have this whole life for you that's totally different. And ultimately, everything you thought, Mary, everything you thought about what it meant to follow me, just get that out of your mind. Get it completely out of your mind because I have a totally different plan for you. It's going to rock you. It's going to cost you your plans. I mean, just take a minute right now. What plans are you making? If God came along and said, I know that's your plan, but I have something different for you, and it's going to strengthen your faith if you follow me, but it's going to change everything. It cost Mary her plans. It cost Mary her time. Just think about her time. I mean, we just read the story. God comes to Mary and says, hey, I have a totally different plan for you, and you're going to have a baby. What? I'm going to have a baby? How am I going to have a baby? I haven't even been with a man yet. Well, don't worry about that. The Holy Spirit is going to make you pregnant, and then you're going to carry for 9 months. Now, I got to tell you, like, I we've had three kids. Carmen on our staff just had, they had their third. We have another person, Chris Solly, and his wife, Krista, they just had a baby. And there's a constant conversation of like how you plan and when to have a baby after you got married. How long are you guys going to wait? I sit with couples all the time, been married for a year. How long are you guys going to wait? Oh, we're going to wait till we're 30. Oh, we're going to wait. Oh, we want to have babies right away. But it's time. And all of that time is we want to do a bunch of other things before the baby comes. Because once that baby comes and once you're pregnant, you know it's like, what? You got 9 months to do all this stuff and get ready. And God comes along and says, I'm not even going to let you pick when and how you use your time. You're gonna get pregnant. Can you imagine just going 9 months being pregnant? You didn't plan on being pregnant, and you're using time that you had all this other stuff planned. You see, for us, like, God will come along, and if you want your faith to be strengthened, storms will strengthen your faith. The challenges that come, they are going to strengthen you, but it's going to cost you some time. I could go on and on about the people who have said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and it costs some time. This week, we gave away awards to some of our key staff, and there's a person in the room that won an award called the Elbow Grease Award. His name is Thomas Fisher. He oversees our setup team for this building. He sets up and tears down this room every single week. He's sitting right over here, I think. And Thomas gives tons of time. Tons of time. He stood up in front of our team this week, and he said, I love what I do from 4:30 a.m. till 2:30 p.m. every Sunday. And we all went, oh, you poor guy. But he made a decision. It's ironic, right? There's a little bit of a storm out right now, winter storm, snow. He made a decision. I'm going to use my time for this. And he would tell you it's his favorite time every week. Strength. Can you imagine the strength? Hey, Mary, you're going to have a baby. What? I'm going to have a baby? You're going to have to, like, your back's going to hurt. You're going to have to, like, go through labor. And then you are going to have to raise a little one. It's going to cost you your strength. You're going to have to, like, really put some energy into this. It's going to cost you. Are you ready, really, to, like, exert energy for doing the thing that God asks you to do? That will ultimately cause you to depend upon him more? What is it that you're afraid of? Are you afraid to work hard? Are you afraid? Some of you are in here right now, and God is saying, do this different thing, and you're just lazy. You're just like, I don't have the energy to do the thing that God has asked me to do. It's going to cost you, and ultimately, it's going to change you. Think about Mary and strength that she exerted. The last thing is her reputation. I mean, her reputation. When you think about Mary's reputation, sorry, let's go back to reputation. When you think about her reputation, Mary is betrothed, and she is now going to have a baby, and everyone is going to know that she's pregnant, and people are going to think that either she's been unfaithful to her husband, or that her and her husband did what they weren't supposed to do before they got married. And God says, you know what? If you really want to follow me, like if you really want your faith to grow, if you really want to live this life, like you might have to take your reputation and lay it on the line. You might actually have to trust God with what other people think about you. Like, do you trust God? Like, are you willing to do the thing that God has called you to do at the cost of your reputation? At the cost of what other people might think of you? You know, this is something as simple as, I was having lunch this week, and I was around, it was a nice place, and with some coworkers and stuff, and I was sitting there, and I was a little intimidated. It was kind of an interesting group, great group, and I was like, I need to, like, lead us in prayer at lunch in this kind of this public place. I'm like, I want to, you know, am I willing to like maybe make some people feel uncomfortable to say, can I lead us in prayer over our lunch? Just a little thought that entered my mind, like, am I willing to like have people think he's the guy that prays at lunch? And I'm like, of course. I mean, are you serious? Like, I'm going to pray. Like, I'm going to stand up and pray. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to lead people, to love people, to honor God. What a small example. Like, are you willing to like leave a job and have your reputation be lost, but you know God has asked me to do this? Are you willing to like mend a broken relationship, like step forward and be the one who admits that they were wrong? Are you willing to kind of take what people think about you and risk it, leverage it for trusting God, for growing in your strength? What about you? What about you? What is God calling you to do? What's the storm that's going to cost you something? That's come your way, that's landed in your lap, that you know you're sitting in this room right now and you're going, I know that God is calling me to do this, and it's going to hurt. It's going to take time and my plans and my strength and my reputation, but you know what? I raised my hand. I want my faith to grow, so I am going to take it. Because God will use storms to tell faith stories. And that's the story of Mary. He uses these storms to grow our strength. And then our strength is the beautiful spectacle that we all look at. You look in the scriptures. All the scriptures, all the narratives from the very beginning are people who were just like you and me, who were challenged at times to trust God. And when we decided to lean on God and leverage our time and energy and our reputation and our strength, when we leverage that for God, we all step back and go, what faith? I want to be like them. I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be like Mary. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be like Moses. I want to be someone who is willing to spend myself so my faith increases. What happens is that storms, they cause us to grow in our strength. We trust God more, and then we look back and you see a beautiful story. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting with a father of a student who comes to our church and who's been engaging in our church. A young girl, a teenager, who was in a storm, challenged, struggling with value, struggling with belief. And this family had grown up in church, but they couldn't somehow get their daughter connected. And so she was, you know, contemplating doing bad things to herself. She was contemplating leaving the church altogether. And what she did is she kind of in a last attempt of desperation, she reached out, she got online and she reached out to a bunch of different churches all over Columbus. She's from the other side of town. Like 15 churches, she emailed and she said, I need help, I want help, I need this, I need this. She's in a storm and she's reaching out, she's trusting God. She's going, I gotta find something, I gotta find the light, I gotta find God, I gotta do it. And I'm proud of this part, it's not the point, but I'm proud of this part that this dad sat and told me that my daughter reached out to 15 different churches and only one responded, and it was 514 Church. Yeah. Only one. And because of that, this girl, she found us, she found a small group leader, and she has moved to the next phase of life in college, and she's had similar struggles, and because of that, she now connects with her small group leader all the time to help her through the storms. This is what happens. This is what God does. Storms come. We have a choice. If we trust God, then when we spend ourselves, when we spend our time, our energy, our strength, then it makes us trust Him more. It makes us stronger. It makes us ready for the next thing. And then God steps back in all of his glory and says, look, look what happens when you trust me. Look at the story of Mary. Mary, here's a storm. Trust me. I don't know. Oh, okay. All right, I will. And we all have stepped back from that one and gone, wow. I wish and I hope that if I get put in that situation, I would trust God the same way that she would. God uses storms to strengthen our faith. You said it. I set you up. You said you want stronger faith. Get ready for what it takes to get there. On a personal note, our family learned yesterday that my 88-year-old grandpa passed away. And this is just so true. You know, in all ways, little ways, big ways, my dad is here. And it's so sad. It was so sad. He called me at like 7 in the morning, and he passed away in his sleep, and he had dementia, and so sad. Just in that moment, I had the same opportunity to go, God, like this, I have to lean on you. I have to trust you. I have to have the faith to make it through just these difficult times. It's funny, at Christmas time, the difficulties kind of pop off the canvas a little bit more because of the joy and the hope and the goodness that we all anticipate and want, and the juxtaposition of the difficult things in life versus what wonderful news it is that Jesus loves us. It becomes more clear. And so at this time of year, it can be harder, I think, to go through difficult times. What about you? Next week, we're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to have communion together. Communion is a time where we take two different symbolic pieces, some juice or wine and bread, and they represent the body of Christ and the blood of Christ as it was broken and spilt for us. And Jesus told his followers that whenever we come together and we take those two elements, that we're supposed to remember what he went through for us and how much he loves us. And so next week, please come ready to just take some time. Just take some time. Remember the gift of Jesus Christ and how this story that started in a manger ended on a cross and saved us from our sin. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much that you use these storms to strengthen us. God, help us to be ready to count the cost, to pay the price, to grow. Help us be willing to move forward, to trust you. Help us not to have any misconception about what it means to follow you. The joy of following you is to see your purposes take place. It's to see what you have planned for earth to come to fruition. That's why we follow you. And we know if we read close that it's going to cost us pieces, chunks, parts of our life. Help us to be willing to follow you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.